Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. That responsorial psalm today shows us the Lenten journey on which the Lord wants to lead each of us during these days. And in response to that petition that comes from our heart, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. The Lord does teach us his way in the gospel and calls us to follow him on that way of truth. He enters the tax collecting place where Levi, or St. Matthew, was collecting taxes, literally ripping off his people in order to be able to take their money and give it to the imposing Roman authority. And Jesus points at him across the room and says, "Follow me." Matthew gets up from his tax collecting post, from his customary seat, and he immediately leaves everything, including the money on the table, and follows the Lord. That's a sign to us of what's supposed to happen during Lent. The Lord's always pointing to us, wanting us to get up from our customary post, where we're comfortable, where we're basically relaxed and immobile. And he says, "Get up and come follow me," so that we might walk in his truth. We can't stay where we are. Then we see the incredible joy of one repentant sinner, of a reconciled son or daughter of God, in the banquet that immediately follows. Jesus had said in St. Matthew's Gospel that when one repentant sinner repents, heaven rejoices more for that occasion than for 99 who never needed to repent. And we see a little bit of that celebration. Jesus is celebrating with Matthew. He's gone into his house. The Pharisees never went into the house of those who were considered sinners. And Matthew had invited a lot of his other sinners along to join in that celebration. And there's every reason to think that the Lord was trying to call each of them to follow him in that way of truth. But then the Pharisees and their scribes complained, saying, "Why do you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus said to us a very important principle. Those who are healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. "I've come to call the right, not the righteous to repentance, but sinners." One of the most important things we need to grasp during Lent is that Jesus is a doctor. To the extent that we're going to be his disciple, we have to recognize we're sinners. We need to need the Lord. If we don't need the Lord, then he's totally at the periphery of our life and we'll go on as if life is normal. I think for many Christians, we have an attitude that we need Jesus in order to make heaven possible. We need him to open up the doors of heaven. We do need his passion, death, and resurrection in order to make eternal life possible. But in terms of the day-to-day existence, many Christians live, as Pope Benedict used to say, as practical atheists, living as if God doesn't really exist, living as if they don't really need God desperately every morning when they get up, every afternoon, every evening, that they can go on their life more or less on autopilot, and it's only when there's a major disaster in their life, a major problem in their family or with their work or in their own health, where they then say, "Okay, I need you, Lord, as my doctor." The fundamental reality for us as Christians is that we desperately need Jesus every single day, that we're sick, that we've got the cancer of sin, that we're kind of like a spiritual scab picker who just can't help obsessively going back to the source of our illness. The Lord Jesus, the divine physician, wants to heal us of that each Lent, but we have to recognize how much we need him. Pope Francis is often making the distinction in his daily mass homilies between sinners on the one hand and the corrupt on the other. Sinners recognize they need a doctor. The corrupt are just as unhealthy spiritually, but they don't really think that they need the doctor. And that's when they're able to get solidified in their sin, choosing, in essence, to go about their life as if God were absent. Teach me your ways, O Lord, so that I may walk in your truth. The point of Lent is to learn Jesus' ways, to recognize we haven't been living by that healthy lifestyle, and then to begin to follow the prescription Jesus gives. It's ultimately to follow the Lord Jesus. In St. Matthew's own account of this scene, today we have St. Luke's Gospel, St. Matthew finishes the scene by Jesus saying to the scribes and the Pharisees who had interrogated him, "Go and learn the meaning of the expression, 'It's mercy I desire, not sacrifice.'" If we're really going to learn the Lord's ways, we must learn that above all, he wants compassion on the sinner. He wants mercy far more than any of our sacrifices. Yesterday, we had a chance to ponder Jesus' teaching about fasting. What happened there? That Jesus wants to teach us that ultimately he wants us to fast for what God fasts for. That there's a part of us that's with the bridegroom, there's a part of us that's not. And the reason why we fast even with the bridegroom's presence until the end of time is because part of us is not yet fully with the one who is with us. We need to fast for what God hungers for. We focused on the reading from the prophet Isaiah about the fast God had wanted. And today's first reading continues that description of what God hungers for. If we're going to walk in the Lord's ways, if we're going to desire the mercy that God wants, we have to desperately be starving to do what God is starving for us to do. So, God tells us today he wants us to remove oppression from our midst. He wants us to remove false accusations and malicious speech. He wants us to bestow our bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted. He wants us to not follow our own pursuits on the holy day, but follow his pursuits. To make the Lord's day honorable, not by following our own path, seeking our own interests, or speaking with malice, but in fact, learning the Lord's ways and walking in his truth, desiring what he desires. What he desires above all is mercy. Today at this Mass, Jesus doesn't enter Levi's house to have a banquet in which he's reclining on his right elbow as the scribes and Pharisees are standing around criticizing him. He, in fact, has invited us into his own house here at church, where he sets the banquet for us and wants to feed us with his own life. This is the place in which we learn how to walk in the Lord's truth, because we begin to recognize that Jesus is accompanying us, walking with us on the inside. This is where the divine physician becomes our own medicine as we receive him and tries to heal us from the inside out. But in order for this to work, we need to recognize how desperately we need that divine help. Today, as we prepare to receive the Lord, let's ask for it and let's let the divine physician do his spiritual chemotherapy, healing our spiritual cancer of sin, and making us whole, leading us step by step in the ways of his truth, all the way to the celestial banquet. Praise be Jesus Christ.